Thank you, Father. Lord, we ask for grace. We ask for great grace to come upon us all, great faith. Great grace and great faith. Lord, I thank you for the government of Zion. I thank you for the crystal mountains of heaven. I thank you for the frequency of the counsels of God. I thank you for the vibrations of heaven, the life of heaven pervading us, gripping us, and calling us up. Calling us up. Thank you that you're calling us up. And we respond, we look up, we lift our eyes to heaven. So I want to talk about going deeper into ecstasy, into the ecstatic realm tonight. It's really interesting that ascension is an actual participation in God's desire. See, the issue with ascension is not your desire to go there, it's his desire for you and whether you surrender to that. So hidden within God's name, we've got the, you know, you guys know it well, Yod He Vav He, which is Yahweh. Yod He Vav He. It begins with a little dot. It's called the limitless dot, the speck. All the realms of heaven start with a speck. And that's why people don't have the realm of heaven. They don't realize often that they're having the beginnings of it, but they don't handle it right. So often you'll begin to chunk up Yod. It's a step. Hey. Vav. Vav is a very high step. Because Vav is actually Jacob's ladder. It's the number 6. It means to hook up. Vav. Hey. So encoded within the name of God is an ability to ascend. It's a transdimensional access. So Yod is the little dot. Yod. In the little there is much. Hey, I am disturbed by your wonder. I enter into grace. Vav. Hey. Okay. Now, the way it looks, if you draw it another way, is it's actually a whirlwind because it's a living name. So the Yod is the point where the whirlwind of God's name connects with your heart. So the key to the Yod is the human heart, is the love gate. Now, as you open up the love gate, Yod, He, Vav, He. As you notice, there's an expansion. This is called an expanded heart. But very few people have got the endurance to engage it. But I just dare to believe we're at the point in human history where the church is hungry enough to learn endurance. Endurance of bliss, going higher. That's why we have these long worship times. I'm sure there were times you wanted to pull out, you wanted to unplug. But it's like marathon running or cycling or something like that, is your muscles will tell you to stop. But, you know, like Janine's husband, Matthew, does really long distance cycling. And a lot of these people say, if you push through, there's a kick and your body will yield and then it's limitless. You go into fusion. Hidden in the name of God is fusion. What I mean by fusion is perpetual energy. See, if we get tired, we've not crossed the threshold yet into ecstasy. Hidden within ecstasy are realms of energy. Now, a lot of the church doesn't go into that ecstatic realm. It just stays in what's called non-mystic prayer. Okay, so I want to talk about that for a second to show you what that is. So the normal state of prayer is what we call devotional prayer. It's songs, reading. It can be rhythmic. It can be requests, Lord, please come. It can be loud, thanksgiving, meditation, art, many forms. It's highly valued because it's the beginning. It's the dot. So the dot has a purpose. But if we think the dot is the purpose, we've missed the beauty of absorption into union, right? These things are priceless, and it says, let the praise of God always be on your lips. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing. Speak in tongues. So this is a realm of beauty because it's the platform of your heart's love gate being open. but it's the beginning of Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. And he wants us to go higher. It's limited because it's incomplete. What do I mean by that is that when you're praying and engaging God, you can pull out of it. You remain aware of the room. Okay? You're able to control your body. So you're feeling God, but it's gentle. It's a gentle thing. That's good. That's the beginning of the yod. But hidden within the yod is the capacity to go beyond the gentle. See, if you honor the gentle presence of God and value it, but continue in it, hidden behind that is a burning flame. Is the shin. Yod, hey, shin, vav, hey. Yod, hey, shin, vav, hey. So hidden within the name is the ability to ascend into another state of being. The purpose of a flame is to reconfigure your matter, your DNA, your body, your soul and spirit, and expand you into heat, light, fragrance, energy, and elevation. So hidden within God's name, you guys tracking with me, is the capacity. All right, I'm going to just say it like this. You could get really, really whacked. We're not getting whacked enough, right? I'm talking about there are realms. Now, if we look at the Bible is birthed out of those realms. You know, Paul hijacked, am I in my body, am I out of my body? God knows. If he's in ecstasies, it's all God's fault. He said he lived in a realm of ecstasy. He said the revelations I had are not human messages. Most of the Bible we're reading is a realm. Revelation is a realm. The reason people write very bad end time theology is because they don't go into the realm of his goodness where it came from. The realm of goodness changes the message entirely. And when you realize the different beings you're seeing are just Jesus clothed in different facets of his nature, that's called the revelation of Jesus. And you think, oh, there's all these different beings, and you start to see his diamonds shimmering. It's different facets of Yod Heh Vav Heh. See, God wants to take us into those dimensions. And, you know, there are massive, massive, like, I want to call them trips, like on drugs, if you want to call it that. Like Zechariah has a 6-chapter trip. But it starts with him saying, then I raised my eyes to heaven. That word there, raised, is NASA. It's NASA. And it's repeated throughout scripture. He lifted his eyes to heaven. What does that mean? He chose to engage beyond the physical context he was in. See, the reason a lot of people do not have ascension experiences is they've set their minds on the scene and the room, the temporal, and they're thinking about their problems, anchoring themselves here. They've been choked by the cares and worries of this world, which stops Jacob's ladder opening and the gates popping. The cares and worries of this world tether you to here. And what God wants to do is cause you to delight in him so much that the sweetness of his love makes you forget that you are here. Will you forget you have worries? Will you forget there are any cares? The Lord is my shepherd. I have no needs. So I raised my eyes to heaven, and Zechariah had these amazing encounters where he goes into mystery. And then he sees group encounters, and he travels through scripture, and he sees the stone with 7 eyes. He sees all these crazy things. I'm looking. I saw 7 lamps, 7 pipes, 7 lamps. I saw a bowl. I saw this. I saw that. And God wants to take you into a stream of consciousness where you are not the one determining the flow of the thoughts. If you're the one determining the flow of the thoughts, you've not gone into the ecstasy yet. You're in the pre-ecstatic state where it's still inside your brain. And your brain's a lovely place. God loves it. I love it. But how about being out of your mind? So the word Paul used is ek, histemi. Histemi from ek, being out. Ek, exited the building. And histemi, where I'm standing, or my body. Where my body's standing. So Paul said, if I've exited where my body's standing, is for God's glory. Why was it for God's glory? Because God could engage the human heart on a higher dimensional level. He can engage you on a different level. See, God wants to move you beyond an engagement that's linear and bite-sized into a flow of consciousness, a flow of energy, where in a minute you learn more than you were taught in the last year in normal church. Ecstasies. And it's a choice. See, today, for example, I was praying for an hour and then I went for another hour. The hour was sweet. It felt naturally ended. But I thought, I want to grow in my hunger for encounter. So I chose to do another hour and I thought, I'm going to increase my stamina. And as I went through that hour into the second hour, my body started to go into a trance. And the way it felt was I felt pretty ill, actually. It's kind of like an ill feeling sometimes. It's not always amazing. You see that in scripture where they fell ill, they fell over, Daniel was in bed. That's the beginning of your body trying to work out what's going on with it. But behind that is a realm where your skin can ripple. I'm just being honest, you can have lights, you can have all this other stuff coming off you, and you are starting to transfigure, you're starting to go into trance, the trance realm. And I think God wants this generation to restore the trance. God wants this generation to restore something that was ours from the early days of the prophets. See, Acts says, we are the sons of the prophets and the heirs of the promise. So according to scripture, you are the sons of the prophets, which means you should be walking in their inheritance, which means you are meant to experience raptures. You are meant to experience ecstasies. So God wants to take us out of a realm where your mind is wandering. See, the mind wandering is still limited. He wants to take us into a realm where your body, soul, and spirit is wholly absorbed with divine things. Phew. So my aim in this message is the rediscovery of God's presence. Because we've forgotten the realm from where we came. We've forgotten the realm of bliss and ecstasy that was God's love that created us. And God's looking for us to remember and recover all. And repent, which means return to the high place where you came from. You can only return to somewhere you've come from, right? So he wants to take us into deeper process of unification. Now, the Jews have a name for this. It's called Yahid. But the Catholics call it centering on the oneness of God. God spoke to me the other day. I was giving some advice to people that do music. They're very influential. And I waited for like a month until I responded. And the thing the Lord said to me was, tell them the future will be oneness. That's powerful. Imagine if you filter every song through that. Oneness, right? So we are being called into oneness with the divine. They call it devakut, which means the binding of yourself to the other. Devakut is the word where we kavah, we bind ourselves to the Lord. See, the problem is we're not going deep enough until you can't tell where you end and he begins. We have these separation prayers. God, help my family. God, move. God, act. God, do this. And they're all legitimate. But once you finish that, where do you go? Because most people finished prayer at that point. They move out of prayer and they finished for the day, but they've not gone into the wonder, which is the reward of the upright, bliss. See, God wants to give you bliss. The aim is you release your prayers and your songs and stuff, and then there comes a point where it's whoa. And we are a generation that needs to rediscover the warm. I'm letting you into my private life in what I'm sharing tonight. I'm deciding I'm going to talk through these things. These are the things I'm going to start teaching people, is how to go into higher, hyper-dimensional states of awareness. Okay, so just come with me on it. Just stick with me. So it's called the next stage we go into when we've been singing. And Yod Heh Vav Heh is a brilliant tool for higher dimensional engagement with God. Why? Because it gives your body something to think about. You're going Yod Ox. Hey, lion. Vav, eagle. Hey, man. Grace. Yod 10. Hey, 5. Wow. Vav 6. 5. 26, Aleph, Tav, Yod, Hey, Beit, Vav, Hey. And you start to see all the other letters hidden in God. And then you start to see living creatures and you start to see the elders. The elders are fascinating. I believe one of the biggest revelations that's about to come on the earth is about the elders. No one's ever written a book on them. No one knows how they function. Get ready for eldership. It's to do with age, restoring the wonder of the wise. Eldership. And as we honor eldership here, it has a base to manifest itself. The elders are fascinating, and what they've got to bring is the pinnacle of the church era. They are very intrinsically linked to what must happen now. Eldership is what we must become. We must transition the church from being a teenager into an elder. Teenagers about what all I want, all me, consumption, all about me. And a lot of the church is like that. That's the teenage stage of development. But God wants us to form eldership. When you're an elder, you're holding them all in your heart. You're seen through time. You're at rest. You're pouring out your life in multiple directions. You're an oak of righteousness. And we've got to start to see that manifest on the earth. People are so rooted in heaven, they can literally walk through hell. Let's not go there. So we turn into the divine life where you are pulled, body, soul, and spirit, into the engagement. This is one of the signs that we've not gone deep enough is some of us, I don't want to say for everyone, but how often are you so absorbed that you can hardly move? You know, that happens to me often and it can happen to you often. For me, if I'm having a good time of prayer in my basement, my body will start to participate in it. That I've learned to animate my body. I'll just be honest with you. I've learned to move my lips and act like it's not immobilized. That's the only way I can describe it, because when it first started happening to me, I was immobilized. Sometimes I was just preaching in South Africa. I was in such a strong realm. People were all falling on the floor. One woman ran out just to touch me, but I could function because I was functioning in him. And the power of his name was giving my body mobilization and strength. There's a realm where you need God to handle God. When was the last time you were in that realm where you needed God to empower you to handle God? May you, or to put it as Paul did, may he strengthen you with might in your innermost being, that you may know God. See, I've been in many experiences in my room, and I want to include people in where I've been. That's where I feel I'm at right now. I've got nothing to prove. People can reject it or take it, but I'm going to be honest about the kind of life I've had with the Lord. And I've had a life of absorption where, you know, how do I say this? I haven't been in a meeting yet that compares to what happens when I'm alone. And for me, that's part of the thing that you want, is to everyone to come into that dimension. What I had today, my body struggled today with the realm of God's name that came in the room. Or I was in him. See, that's where you get into, am I in my body or am I out of my body? See, around you is a group of counselors and elders that are fully connected to you, that you need to learn to engage. You need to learn to work with your angels. Your angels form a bench with you in the spirit, which is to the angel of the churches, say this. To the pastor of the churches, say this. God, Jesus, you know, Jesus, the angel, and you form a house. That's why the cherub, what Ezekiel saw was a human being, someone like the Son of Man, surrounded by wheels and faces, sapphire stones and a dais and a throne, is just him seeing us in the spirit, what we look like, as a house of many mansions, many planes of existence. And I believe we're the generation where we've got to become aware of what we are. What are we? What are we? You know, when you engage his face, I mean, how often do you stand in a room and go, Yod, hey, Vav, and try it? Honestly, you are tapping into something. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and it forms an actual structure around your body that starts to resonate, and you begin to become aware of the angelic choirs, structures. They call them choirs in the Hebraic tradition, but it basically means the angels associated with your DNA, the angels that emanate from you as Jacob's ladder. And you begin to become aware that as he is, so are you in this world, that you're a being of light in a kingdom of light with a father of light. And you have expanded thoughts. All these thoughts come to you in a moment and you start to think lots and lots of thoughts all at once, but they're not thoughts to do with the shopping or the kids or your bills. They are thoughts about the science of the unseen, God's government, working with angels, the courts of heaven, the protocol of heaven, the value of the elders, and they all come to you in a linear, spontaneous flow of energy and life. And that's where I've got a lot of my teachings from. You know, we've had 2.5 million downloads from, but like I said in the last session, when I ran out of teachings on immortality, I sat in my chair, I said, Lord, I've done 13 sessions on immortality. I've run out of teachings now. And I sat in the chair and I just went. And he said, return to the ancient paths. And I looked it up and the word ancient path or lamb was the same word as everlasting life. So to return to the ancient path is to return to immortality. No one taught that. See, like some people say to me, where'd you get these things? It's from the same place you should be. You should be getting a few infusion, but do you know it's deciding to spend 10 minutes in the sweetness or 15 minutes where it's Yod Heh Vav Heh. And you engage Zion and you engage ascension and you allow yourself to not be afraid to go into the bliss. Okay. Now the word ecstasy in the Jewish culture is called hitlahavut, which is difficult to say, but it literally means one whose heart is filled with burning fire. So to come into ecstasy is to become the company of burning hearts, where God consumes you in your heart with the burning fire. When was the last time you prayed and that happened? You know, when I was just in South Africa, multiple people all at once had incendium memoris. I was talking on it. It started breaking out in the room. They were having the burning flame. I told you guys before, I set off the satellite register in Australia for bushfires when I had it. It showed a fire broken out in the house I was speaking at when I was burning with the flame. See, all of this is right next to you. It's in you. It's not far from you. But we've had such a little appetite for ecstasy. And I know we do, because I can tell when we have a little taste of God, our portion's full. It's like I felt God tonight. But God wants to create in you an unbalanced appetite where you're blissful at rest. It's not the striving, empty hunger. It's the hunger of someone who's tasted a really good pumpkin pie, like me in my hotels when I travel. You've had one slice and one slice just didn't cut in it anymore. And you're alone with that pie. And no one knows what's going on in your hotel room and no one's going to see what happens. So you think, okay, maybe I won't eat the pastry. I'll scoop out the yummy bit in the middle. I've cleaned out whole pumpkin pies, man. They are beautifully nutritious. So ecstasy is the euphoric pleasure in God. It's a culmination of his infinite joy that affects us, spirit, soul, and body. It's a culmination of his joy affecting you, body, soul, and spirit, where you are so absorbed by his bliss for you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. See, there's a realm there where it becomes strength. It comes as joy, but produces strength. You know, where do we get the strength from to do what we do? Where do we get the energy from? It's from his infinite joy in us, his pleasure in us. And that's what a lot of Christians don't realize, is that God wants you to delight yourself in the Lord. And the word delight means take pleasure in God. Then he gives you the desires of your heart. So the protocol we've done is that I'm asking, but I'm not delighting, because it's based on an orphan idea that he's separate. But if you realize actually the pathway of bliss is the pathway of ultimate satisfaction, you begin to set your face to seek the Lord in the way that he approves of, which is going from glory to glory, strength to strength, grace upon grace, where it's a spiral of ever-increasing glory. Wow. So just to give you a few examples of this in scripture, It says in Acts 22, now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem, this is Paul, and was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance. So Paul was in the temple in a trance. How did that happen? Because he loved the temple. He loved the law. So you will find God in the place where you love what he produces. You will find God in those places where you love to be. He's already waiting for you. So he talked to him, said, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I was imprisoned and beat those I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. So he's saying, I don't want to go, because if I go out of Jerusalem, every synagogue knows I'm the guy that beat them up and killed their brothers and sisters. So can you see the situation he's in? He's in a situation where God's saying, leave Jerusalem. But he knows if he leaves Jerusalem, he's going to all the places where he was the one that dragged them out, killed them, and raided their homes, right? So, Lord, they know, and every synagogue, I imprisoned, beat those. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by consenting to his death. So he was the guy like saying, yeah, good job. We just killed Stephen, the guy everybody loves. And guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. And Jesus said, he said to me, depart, for I will send you from here to the Gentiles. Right. I want you to hear something. This is vitally important, what I'm saying. That sounds like a boring, mundane scripture. But you have to realize there are realms of obedience that you can only go into if you're ravished by ecstasy. Because your fear will stop you. If you don't allow the force of his love to ravish you, your fear will keep you in Jerusalem. What would have happened if he'd stayed in Jerusalem? We would not have had Ephesians, Galatians, Corinthians, Colossians. So God had to give him an ecstasy to recalibrate his consciousness. Some of you right now can't move forwards until you encounter him in ecstasies. You need an ecstasy right now, at this moment, this year. This November, this December, you need an ecstasy to break off the structure of fear that's keeping you in your Jerusalem. There are realms open for you that can only come by you being out of your mind in him. So in that state of being, God deals with the fear of the loving the familiar or leaving the familiar. He deals with the fear of other Christians and what they might think. And then he expands your mission to the whole world. See, the fruit of ecstasy is an expanded consciousness of your metron of government. That you are meant to govern creation. Govern creation. See, the fruit of me having ecstasies was I stopped seeing the earth as a big problem. That's why I've got an optimistic eschatology. Because when I started going into space in my ecstasies, earth looked so small. And those people that go, oh, this is a tough area. This is a tough city. I'm like, well, leave it for a second and get a different view. Isaiah said, lift your eyes to the heavens, then look upon the earth beneath. If it seems big, it means you don't know how big you are. See, ecstasy reveals the bigness of what you are. There's nothing like shooting through space, by the way, and I don't understand why people don't do it more often. So ecstasy brings you into a bigger world. And some of you have heard this poem. It's a French poem. It says, come to the edge, he said. We can't, we're afraid, they responded. Come to the edge. This is God wanting you to go out there, right? In the spirit. We can't, we will fall. People fall over all the time. They responded, come to the edge, he said. And so they came. And this is the difference. And he pushed them and they flew. See, ecstasy is also called the flight of the spirit. What's different about me is that I'm looking for the ascension, not the falling. I fall upwards, if you know what I mean. I'm not looking for the physical thing. I'm looking for this rapture. Like, I'm being totally honest, you guys are tribe. I'm often more aware of, is there a propeller above my head, a fan, when I'm in ministering. Honestly, in South Africa, every meeting I looked because they had these fans and I thought, man, this isn't a place to levitate. But I'm just being honest with you. I'm being honest with you how my mind thinks. Because the amount of times I've had a strong updraft, one time I was pulled off my bed, I floated straight off the bed. But I know, I was talking to Dr. O about this. When he was like an 8-year-old boy, he used to work in the market selling tea towels. He'd go back to a concrete room with nothing in it and pray all night. As an 8-year-old boy, pray all night doing Yod Hey Vav Hey. And he said, I used to wake up or come round floating off the ground at 8 years of age. You know, some of the conferences, they're doing like a 6-hour speaking in tongues YouTube where they're just speaking in tongues for 6 hours. That's the kind of realm we've got to start going for, guys. I know it's not going to be comfortable. Some of you won't want to go there. That's okay. You're powerful. But we can't be namby-pamby pussyfooting Christians anymore. We've got to be jacked up on Jesus, transcendent, ecstatic, out of our minds. Like, you know, our Christians have got like a diet that big, like they have one bit of meat and they're full. And that's not me. I've got hollow legs or something. I don't know. There's just, it just doesn't stop for me until my body's vibrating and I'm expanded. Sometimes it scares me. It scares me. And you have to start to go to the place where Zechariah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah and all these others went, where you're afraid because it's got so powerful. Just be honest. When was the last time you got afraid? I got afraid today. I'm not saying that to condemn anyone. I'm just being honest. You guys have listened to me teach for years. I'm just being honest about my relationship with God. Because I want you guys to come into ecstasies. I want you guys to have such a crazy, crazy relationship with God that you're struggling to choose words for it. The language, semantics aren't big enough. You have to invent words for it. I love Dr. O. We were on a cruise recently. He invents words all the time. He was the one that coined a phrase that's used in theology books. I can't remember the phrase, but it's about the Trinity being a community. He came up with that because he was trying to explain something about the nature of the Trinity. So I come up with words all the time, and I'm going to come up with more words. We need an explosion of language because language and thought are connected. This is why I'm fundamentally opposed to most of the worship that's going on right now that says, God, you're far away. I've got a stony heart. I keep banging on about it. It's demonic. It's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. We should measure against the gospel. It won't stand. He's in you. He's with you. You're in him. He's in you. You're seated in heaven. It says, fix your eyes on things above. Most of our songs should be about stuff above, and then we would see it. Because what you look at, you will see. I'm fed up with this belly-gazing, grumpy. I know this cutting-edge church in England. I'm not going to name them. But they're very popular, and they always start saying their Sunday services. Someone in their church told me, saying, I know you've had a tough week. I know it's been really bad, but we're going to sacrifice to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what is wrong with you? You should be getting up there going, guys, I've been so whacked this week, so whacked. I was doing skipping and walking at the same time, like Michael McIntyre, and one of the mums said, what's wrong with you? And he went, this is Jesus, in a really creepy voice, and the glory broke out. You know, my mindset is like it's here. I was praying today. I was saying, heavenly glory is mine. I wasn't praying for the glory. I was saying, it's mine. I'm having it. Visions, encounters are mine. Glory is mine. And I'm getting more. Oh, whew. I don't know what's going on with me. I don't know what's going on, but I feel like I'm having a baby. I've certainly put on some weight recently, and I feel like, I've got to be honest, I feel so pregnant. I feel like we're birthing a completely different world right now. It's crazy, the people that are getting in touch. You guys don't know the half of it, but you can. You can know that and more through choosing to go up. I post on Facebook today, if you just go up for a moment, it'll change your mind. So, So ecstasis means the displaced. This is from Strong, so it must be true. It says a displacement of the mind, bewilderment, ecstasy, to be amazed, astonished, trance. When was the last time you were befuddled and bewildered? And we had to use some great old discombobulated words. We had to dig into the archives of the English language to find words with Bob in the middle of it. Discombobulated. When was the last time you were bewildered? Bewitched is another word for entranced. Bewitched by God. Like, you don't even know what I saw. I saw, you know, I'm so provoked by, you know, hanging out with Dr. O on the cruise. We had a lovely time, but he was saying to me, oh, you know what it's like, he said. When you go up in those realms, you see beings and creatures that only God could love. I'm like, I was nodding, but inside I was going, do you? I want to see those. I mean, when was the last time you saw a being that's so freaky you think only God can love that face? You got a face only your mother could love. See, I want to go out of my imagination where it's, I can't imagine it. It's because it's not me making it. See, the difference between visions and our stuff and our ascensions and ecstasies is we're not the one driving the plane. We're not the one driving the roller coaster. We're on it. But you have to volunteer to get on it. He doesn't force you on it unless he decides every so often to force someone on it, like he did to Paul, Saul. He did it to him. Ekistemi, out of my body. When was the last time you were beside yourself? I've been beside myself so many times, I've lost count of how many times I'm trying to feel like this is me. This is me. These are my lips. These are my teeth. The amount of times I've like felt my nose because it doesn't feel like that's my face. And I do conference after conference. I just travel. I was just in Namibia. Oh, God. For if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. If we're of sound mind, I've written my own translation because everybody's making up random translations now with no exegesis at all. I can just make one up. So my translation for this verse is, if I get wrecked on love and have an ecstasy, it's for God. He loves ravishing me out of my senses. I will try and keep this bliss under control for you. It might be tricky. You see, the love of God overmasters me. I'm messed up by love. Yes, yes, thank you. So I've just began my own Bible translation. So the blue letter Bible says an ecstasy is a person or a man who by sudden emotion, oh, not your emotion, God's emotion. When was the last time a sudden emotion came on you? Like a, and you is, this is what the Bible commentary says, this is Thayer's, says this, that you are transported out of yourself in this rapt condition. Although he is awake, his mind is drawn off from all surrounding objects and wholly fixed on things divine. I had this in my bedroom. I was caught up praying in the court case for someone who had crashed their car. They messaged me. They had a hire car and they said, we didn't take out insurance. Someone bumped my car while I parked it. I came out and they've bumped my car. This person's a famous person in ministry. So I went in the courtroom. I was holding them in my heart, loving on them, saying, Lord, I stand on the gap. Forgive them. Forgive me for not taking insurance out. That was a poverty devil. Should have had insurance. Lord, forgive. Forgive them. And I was engaged in the car, and I was just trying to turn it back 5 minutes because I've bent time before. And I was thinking, if I could just bend it by 5 minutes and that car could get restored. But what happened was God pulled me up out of the courts. See, when was the last time you were ascended and had an ascension in there? The first layer of heaven is your entry level. And often when I'm praying in heaven, I will be pulled into heaven. So it says like Paul, like John, I was in the spirit. I saw the Lord, yada, yada, yada. Then a door, immediately, I was in the spirit. I'm trying my best. I'm trying. Forgive me. I've been quite whacked and it's hard, I'm sorry. What I'm seeing is this. It's like Ezekiel, it says, the word of the Lord came to him. The hand of the Lord came to him. He was pulled in the Lord. The Lord came into him. And you see the same thing in Revelation. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Then the spirit of the Lord came upon me. I saw a door. Immediately I was in the spirit and the spirit filled me. Do you know what I'm saying? That means like it's actually happening in another dimension. In the natural, he's in the spirit. who is then going from realm upon realm and even needing his spirit body to be touched because he's fallen like a dead man. When was the last time you had such a strong encounter in the heavenlies that your spirit body starts to feel like it's dying? Is this okay that I'm asking these questions? Because this is what Enoch walked like. This is where the prophetic realm needs to go. The prophetic movement needs to go much, much further. And don't be upset, because I'm willing to take you guys on a journey with this. If this is where you want to go, I'll teach you. So, oh, nearly done. Thank you, Father. Wow, so in this, Thayer says, the state of one who, either owing to the importance or the novelty of an event, is thrown into a state of blended fear and wonder. So ecstasis, ecstasy, look at it in scripture. They are in a blended fear and wonder. They got knots in their belly, but they're amazed and enjoying what they're seeing. When was the last time that two emotions are fighting for the government of your heart, fear and wonder? Then you come into the dimension beyond human language. See, the fear is a love test. Do you trust me? Do you want me? Do you want me? Do you trust me? There definitely comes a point where you've got to give up your right to live, I would say, in ecstasies. For me, ecstasies is the biggest battle is, am I dying? Am I dying? And you give yourself to the wonderment. And then Paul said this, I was a subject of an incomprehensible ecstasy where truths too great for human language were imparted to me. Other translation says, inexpressible words. When was the last time you saw something in the spirit that you can't even express it? It's inexpressible. Things that are too wonderful to tell. Words that cannot and indeed must not be translated into human speech. In other words, to hear what Paul is going to challenge you. Is it okay to challenge you?
Yes.
Okay. That there are revelations that you can have that you can only communicate if someone ascends to meet you. What I mean by that is that there are revelations that cannot be manifested in the earth. You have to go higher to hear them and communicate with others. What I mean by that is sometimes your ministry's in heaven and what you did and spoke was that for that dimension, those dimensions, and it wasn't able to function here. When was the last time you functioned in heaven? I go up into my mountain every day. I go up into the protocol of it. I engage fear, wisdom. I sit in the Father. I thank the Lord for Imriel who works with me. Abital, I'm not saying this to try and impress you. I'm letting you into secret stuff because it's time to grow up. It's time to know that you're a mountain. You're a house. You're a structure made of angels and saints. Who are the angels that are who are the angels working with you? Who are the saints who are invested in you? These are the questions we need to ask. And if you want a scripture to validate this, it's Colossians 3. Set your mind on things above. What am I doing? I'm setting your mind on things above. And I'm talking about the things that the church is not setting their minds on because they've been carnally, earthly minded. Who are the saints engaging you right now, at this moment in your life, at this juncture? Who's engaging you from the cloud of witnesses? So that's a question you need to be presenting in the spirit. Because you don't know. Who are the angels that are working for you to form a bench, a mountain in the spirit? What is your name in heaven? Not you've got more than one name in heaven, but I mean, if I saw you in heaven, what would be the name of your function? Mine is Shevet Peh, which means the rod of his mouth. And, you know, if you look at the letters, you'll understand what your function is. So the Lord gave me that name, Shevet Peh. And it means ascend in the flame of his desire to become a house in the spirit with him that divides good from evil. And then has the power to create with words, power to create wonder. Wouldn't you say that the fruit, you know, I meet everyone over the world and they say, I heard your podcast and it created wonder. It divided my thinking. It had power to create something new in me. I have people email me every week that I had to pull over on the road. I'm a truck driver. I went into the presence of God. I was drunk. I was intoxicated. So my name, Shevet Peh, is in Isaiah 11, which is, with the rod of my mouth, I will strike the ground. And the Lord was the one that told me that was my function. And I step into the house that's associated with that. And the angels that work with me are Imriel, and that means the eloquence of God. And I've got other ones that work with me. What is your function here? Because what you clothe yourself in the above will form on the earth. See, Janine's gone into throne room worship. She's gone into a dimension of engaging heaven that's now manifesting in the sound that they create here. As you are there, so you are here. So who are you there? Is this okay? Yeah. This feels like I'm stretching you guys, but I want to pump the pace a bit, you know? I want to stretch the pace. Because think about it, you know, I see so much around non. I see so much around all of you. You know, you are a house of many mansions. Ecstasy unlocks those mansions. Ecstasy unlocks the gateway technology within you. You are Jacob's ladder, like you know, DNA. Right. Those gates get locked by emotions. They get tethered by fear, pain, choking the seed, the cares and worries of this world choke the seed of your DNA. So God gives you a flow of bliss right down the strand of your DNA, and joy is the technology that breaks the chain. The anointing breaks the yoke, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise. It's a technology that comes into the very fabric of your body, soul, and spirit to cause it to break open the cares and worries of this world so that all these gates now shoot, and that is ecstasy. Now you're understanding science. Now you're understanding past, present, future. Now you're understanding the mysteries of Yod Heh Vav Heh. Now you're seeing the Aleph Tav. Now you're seeing angels, choirs of angels. Because your gates have popped. See, reality is already there, but as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So God changes you by rupturing you with the violence of his love. Because love causes an explosion in the technology of what you are. That's why on the day of Pentecost, they were drunk and Peter was transfigured and changed, because the fire came down into the DNA, which is the shin, moved into their bodies and popped it. And created Peter as the rock and an oracle. That's why Moses encountered the flame and became an oracle. He encountered the burning bush because the ecstasy of the flame changes what you can do. In other words, ecstasy opens up your government. I've never taught on it like this. I think this is amazing what I'm saying here. I'm actually explaining how you work as a technology. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm getting whacked off my own teachings. Wow, this is all the stuff I've learned from being in the Spirit. See, you know we're doing the wine is alive. It's the drunkenness is not a joke. The drunkenness is a technology. They were drunk on the day of Pentecost, and they became the greatest martyrs. They went from being locked in a room to being unstoppable. Unstoppable force came from that ecstasy, that rooftop ecstasy, that room. Whew. Whoa. Where we hear things so astounding that they cannot be expressed. You've got a wisdom here and wisdom there. What if God wants you to live from higher wisdom in this generation? Because the problems of this world cannot be solved here. They can only be solved from a higher consciousness. And what if you are the vehicle for that consciousness? Look, listen, I don't care how intelligent you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what age you are. It's about where you sit. just believe me, the amount of times I've been in a meeting or I've had to meet people. The other day, someone who does Bitcoins was talking to me and wanted lunch. And I had miners talking to me who were doing a multi-million pound property development the other day. And then this week I had someone who's in the music industry. I don't know anything about Bitcoin. I don't know anything about multi-million dollar developments. And I don't know anything about the music industry. But Shevet paid us. I shift into my higher body. See, within you are many bodies, celestial and heavenly. You are located in Colossians 3. You are seated in Christ. What I do is I sit there and function here then. I rest there and then I'm revealed here. And God wants you to sit in heavenly realms. What am I saying? You can literally be in front of someone tomorrow, and if you sit up in that ascension, you have all you need. It will come to you. I'll give you an example. I was with these people who've been doing a project for 3 or 4 years. It's made them go almost completely bust financially. And they opened up with me in the car. And they said to me, what do we do? And they said, I said, what's the project? They said, we're doing housing for poor people and all this other stuff. And they, all this money's in debt because they keep getting blocked. I just went up. Do you know what I pray secretly? And I do it all the time. I go, wisdom, I need you. And I entangle into this being called wisdom. And I sit amongst wisdom and I let her consciousness affect me. And I found myself saying, you've got the strategy wrong. You've tried to put poor houses where you need the rich to be won so the finances will come to do lots with the poor. But this needs to be a place where you develop expensive, cutting-edge housing. And the moment I said it, he went, oh, why didn't we see that before? And I don't know about this stuff, but I know wisdom. You know wisdom. You know ascension. You know heaven. I see where we're at on the timeline, and it's all changing now. It's all forget the former things. Forget how you function. Forget ministry, whether it's liquid church or solid church or Pentecostal or charismatic. Who cares? You are called to sit in the heavenly realms with wisdom and understanding. You are called to function with the angels. You are, if you're alive now, get ready to meet angels on a scale no generation's ever met angels. Get to be familiar with the cloud of witnesses because they will give you their cup to drink from. And the living letters, the house of Med, the house of pay, you'll be drawn to the ones that are meant to be connected to you. But whatever's going to happen, you have to give yourself permission to change right now, because you are not going to be the same. You are not going to be the same. If you're alive now on this timeline, you're lucky you. So I'll carry on a minute longer. Acts 10:10, and he, Peter, became hungry and desired to eat. But as they were making ready, an ecstasy came upon him. Darby translation. He fell into a trance. The word fell means it rushed and pressed upon his chest. Wow. So he was thinking about food and hunger. And I've said this before because that was something it connected him to the spirit because it connected him to pleasure. He thought about food. The same pathways for thinking about food is the same pathways of ecstasy. That's why it always talks about God as a meal. Drink, taste, see, eat the lamb. Taste and see. Because the pathway of pleasure that you have in food is the same gateway you can use into ecstatic realms. I've used it many times. When I eat that pumpkin pie, I use that pumpkin pie. Are you using the chocolates and cakes like you should be? Are you using them to transport you? Are you using music to trigger you? Are you using the air, the countryside to trigger you? Are you using your breath to trigger you? I did a teaching in South Africa on the word Aleph, the first letter. The first letter is the sound you make when you go... From the moment you're born, you say the name of God, Yod Heh Vav Heh, the Aleph. Every human is saying it, even atheists. You could get whacked on that. Just go. Listen to an atheist breathing. Go. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The reason it says let everything that has breath praise the Lord, because everything that has breath says Aleph. over and over again. And Aleph is Yod Heh Vav Heh, 26. It's the name of God. So everything that has breath is designed to repeat God's name. How many times do we breathe a second? So he fell into an ecstasy because he was hungry. It said he hungered and would have eaten. But while they made ready, a ravishing of the Spirit came upon him. That word ravishing is really interesting. It's when God tears you apart violently. Wow. When was the last time you said, God, do it. Ravish me. Consume me with your passion. I do that to the Lord. Do you bait the Lord? Do you know your God bait? Do you know what you are? You are God bait. I do it to the Lord frequently. I say, come on, come and get me. I mean this. Rachel just knows I'm downstairs praying, but you guys should see what it looks like. So what happens when Peter goes in? We're joking about Peter, but think about this. Peter saw the skies, the heavens open up, and something that looked like a huge blanket lowered by ropes with its four corners. You know the story, but get it. Every kind of animal, reptile, bird you could think of was in it. Then a voice said, go to it, Peter, kill and eat. See, ecstasy will break your box of what you think God does. He was a Jew that couldn't eat all those animals. There was only one way God could change that in his consciousness, was by putting the fire of his flame through that Jewish DNA. And he popped his ideas about what you could eat and who was clean. And the conclusion was the Gentiles were clean. He actually, in a moment of ecstasy, unraveled 400 years or whatever it was of Judaism. I don't know how old it was by that point. But that's what I'm saying. Sometimes your encoding of being Welsh or English, male or female, needs the ecstasy to break it as the definition of your life. Because those definitions are too small for you. They're too limited. Age, I don't even see it. I don't even see it. I think we need it to be smashed out of us through ecstasies where we realize we are ageless. We are perpetuity. We are aeonias. We are eternal. See, what happens after that is ecstasy, you cannot remain the same. Peter could no longer say they were unclean, and it ravished his whole idea of what God could do. See, the fruit of ecstasy is you live in a bigger world. The fruit of having a trance or an ecstasy in tribe. What am I saying this? Because I don't want you guys to just be singing songs. I want you to go where I am. You're hearing me sing badly, but I'm somewhere else singing like an angel. I can tell you that now. If you came up to where I am, it sounds amazing. I sound like, I don't know, Barry Manilow. I'm just joking, but honestly, see, I'm in a realm where I'm barely hearing my voice. We've got to go. This tribe has got to be about going back to there and in ecstasy, in light, and not in worries and cares and orphan spirits. And am I good enough? That's the knowledge of good and evil. Get out of that. Get out of sin consciousness. There's no battle over whether you're a sinner or not. You're in him. You live in him. You move in him. You're innocent, pure. You are one with him. And go, then you go up. Yes. I'm a now boy. Yes. I don't know where that came from. So let's end with one more ecstasy. Oh, I don't even care that I'm not preaching great tonight because I'm in a realm. You have to realize I might be badly preaching tonight, but my heart is not. My heart is in a dimension of Yod Heh Vav Heh where I feel like I'm on the cusp of being someone totally different to who I've been. And I don't care whether all this ends as it is now. It won't. He layers it, but he's going to produce something so massive in Britain. So huge in Britain. Every church is either going to have to embrace it or be consumed by it. But force changes here. And there's a new generation like David. David was an ecstatic and he understood that he could eat the showbread. He understood that he was saved by grace. He understood that he was a king. He understood frequency, music, vibration and energy before Einstein, before Tesla. He had the key of David. He understood sound, energy, frequency. That's why he would play for the king and the king would get delivered. Because he understood the technology of sound. How did he do that? Because he was out of his mind in God's goodness. Enoch told me that it was the revelation of God's goodness that got him back into Eden. He believed that God is good. Paul. Last example, Revelation 1:10. John is in the spirit. He was in a spirit-inspired trance on the Lord's Day, and he heard behind him a loud voice that sounded like a trumpet. I'm going to say it now. When was the last time someone blew a trumpet in your face when you're praying? I was praying into this today because I remembered something today when I was praying. I remembered the time that God, no one will understand this, I'll just say it. One time I was praying, I passed out because the presence came so strong. When I woke up, it was like God had 100 angels all banging pipes and running pipes along radiators, banging pipes, clanging, grinding wheels and making sparks, and it was a physical noise. And it scared the life out of me. It scared the life out of me. And I didn't tell anyone for a whole year because I didn't know it was okay to pass out and hear pipes being banged and wheels turning. Now I know that was just the wheelie, the wheels. It was wheelie good. It was just, it was the wheelie wheels. And I said to the Lord today, Lord, I'm ready for more of that. I'm ready for you to make noises that make my hair stick up. Yeah. You're laughing because I haven't got any hair. Okay, but if you saw me in the spirit, if you saw me right now with my golden locks of glory, I know I'm stretching you, but I'm trying to get you guys to, you're being discipled by me. I'm opening my mountain. I'm opening my life and saying, come even go even further. Okay, so what happens? The spirit, he came under the spirit's power, and it says he was ravished in spirit, which means to be filled with a strong emotion, especially joy, to be seized and carried off by force. I want to be carried off by force. See, we've got this weedy relationship with God. It's like, oh, just come, Lord Jesus. And it's lovely, but what about, like, have you ever been in heaven? Have you ever been in heaven and God scared the pants off you? Have you ever been in heaven? I was in one of the councils one day. I'd had this incredible walk through Eden with Jesus, and he had baptized me in time. And that's when I started to understand time. He baptized me in the fullness of time, which is like a big ocean. And he plunged me in and pulled me out. And I started to have revelations about time. I just didn't tell people how it happened. So I was in the council, and I was standing with all the council in white. Jesus is with me, and I'm very alert. I'm like, this is strange. I know something's going to happen. Why am I here? What's going to happen? And then suddenly, have you ever felt someone sneak up behind you? And you know someone's behind you? God the Father came like a massive man on fire with a cloak open. And I've got to say, it scared me so bad. This is no exaggeration. I was in the sauna when it happened. Because in the sauna, you can ascend, right? And we had this beautiful walk through cherry blossoms. And I was so absorbed, I forgot about the sauna. He took me into time, baptized me in time, then took me higher to a council. And that's when the Father came as a consuming fire. And it was a love test. And I failed it. I pulled myself straight back. And I was shaking from head to toe like that. I rushed out of the sauna. I was trembling. I got dressed. Honestly, I came back to the house. I said to Rach, God really scared me tonight. And I'm not joking. It took me an hour and a half to stop trembling. That's how powerful the encounter was. What I had to do then was I had to do another court case on being afraid of the Father as fire. And I did a number of court cases. And then one time I was in the sauna again and I went back up. And this time the Lord allowed me to look at him as he enveloped me in his living cloak of fire. If I've never talked about this on podcasts, I've never opened this stuff up, but I feel like this is the season where we've got to talk about these things and engage these things. Okay, so I'm landing it now. Is that ecstasy changes you forever and you'll hear God say, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last." It is a place where God reveals to you the most intimate elements of his heart, thoughts, and action. It is the place where he unveils himself and becomes vulnerable in his beauty and shows you things that are incomprehensible but forever mark themselves on you, body, soul, and spirit. I'll end with this poem by David Adam, who was the vicar of Lindisfarne. I love his books. If you read David Adam, he's brilliant. He was the vicar of Lindisfarne, Holy Island. He said this: "You have called me by name in the night across the years. You've called my name in the laughter and the tears. The words are never quite the same, seeking out dulled ears, wanting me to rise and wake, to cast away my doubts and fears. Your love is there for me to take. More than this, I should know. When the day is turned to night, you are there wherever I go. My love calling me to light, calling me at every breath, calling me to rise from death. Thank you, Father."